Over the last few weeks, we've seen picture after picture after picture of hate-filled marches in Charlottesville, Virginia, followed by the rising waters in Texas and the devastation there caused by Hurricane Harvey. And those horrific scenes followed by the genuine goodness of those who put their own lives aside to assist those in need, both people and animals. On the heels of hatred, it's always good to see folks stepping in to help. And you know, I can't help but wonder if some of the same folks that just weeks before were chanting racist and anti-Semitic epithets in the streets of Virginia weren't the same, or at least like-minded folks who hitched up their boats behind their pickup trucks and headed to Texas to help flood victims. Very few of us are all good or all bad, no matter how much we want to believe this to be true. No matter how much we want to draw nice, neat lines around certain categories of folks that we deem to be not at all like us, that which makes us different is usually much smaller than that which makes us the same. When the floodwaters are rising and houses and lives are being destroyed, skin color, religious affiliation, political leanings, and sexuality are of no importance. The needs are all the same. Safety. Unfortunately, there are some among us who would be more likely to reach out and help those who look like them, but many more step out to help, period. No questions asked. No judgments made, and for that we are very grateful indeed. Those are the folks who warm our hearts and make us proud to be a part of something bigger than just ourselves. The folks who help others are not just Christians. And sometimes those who claim to be followers of Jesus seem to forget what following Jesus really means. As I was driving home from Tallahassee yesterday, I saw a church sign that read, "Are you a follower of Jesus or just a fan?" I like that one. As the devastation grew in Houston and the surrounding area as well, some well-intended folks decided to call out prosperity, gospel, and evangelical megachurch leader Joel Osteen on the fact that he had not opened his church as a shelter, while several area businesses did just that. It just didn't seem Christian. Others immediately came to the defense of Osteen, listing reasons why the large space had been left empty. The courts of social media are still out as to whether or not there was a real and legitimate reason that the follower of Jesus didn't seem to care for those who were in that moment the least of these. And while Joel Osteen and I have very different understanding of the teachings of Jesus in regard to wealth, I have and believe we all have something to learn from him right now. And what that is that the world is watching. Whether Joel Osteen had a perfectly legitimate reason not to open the doors of Lakewood Church or not has proven itself to be irrelevant. For better or worse, the eyes of social media were on him and deemed him to be lacking, at least in terms of being a follower of Jesus. The world is watching us, those of us who say we follow Jesus. Our every movement and our every word is being scrutinized. Does what we say and what we do look anything at all like Jesus, or just the opposite? How can anyone claim to be a follower of the Lord of love and then march in a rally of hate? The world is watching. And so often what the world sees doesn't add up. In the 12th chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, we're given a clearly defined and specific description of what the life of a community of Jesus followers should look like. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. In Bibles that give a brief heading to different sections of Scripture, this section is defined as marks of a true Christian. If these are the marks of a true Christian, I doubt that any of us would pass this test 100%. Certainly, we get a nod and a check on some of the expectations. Most of us here contribute to the needs of the saints and extend hospitality to strangers. Some of us do not lack in zeal, and all of us hate what is evil, although we may have a harder time agreeing on what that evil is, actually. But what about being patient in suffering and blessing those who persecute us? None of us are going to get this right all the time. We just aren't. And is it worse to not open your church doors to those in harm's way or to call out a fellow Christian for not opening the doors of the church to those in harm's way? Certainly, opening the doors of the church would have allowed safety for a larger number of people, but starting a smear campaign on social media did a whole lot of harm as well. It really doesn't mesh with outdoing one another in showing honor or living peaceably with all. Our lives are being played out on a public stage these days, and the world is watching. And sometimes we will do exactly the right thing and represent Jesus just as he would want, and sometimes we will fall short. The best we can do is to keep trying, keep following. Don't just be a fan of Jesus. Follow him. There are costs to following Jesus. The cost is giving up ego-driven needs for self to love-driven care for all others. All others. Even those others that we believe are our enemies or our persecutors. Let the eyes of the world look at us and see those who genuinely shine with love.